Hey Liverpool fans, have you seen the latest release? At Anfield Index, we've teamed up with Liverpool FC to announce that the brand new 24-25 LFC Nike home kit and anthem jacket are out now, and they're hotter than ever. The brand new kit pays homage to the legendary Rome 1984 side, featuring sleek pinstripe detailing that brings a touch of history to our modern game. Whether you're cheering from the cop or watching from home, you'll feel the spirit of the Reds coursing through every stitch. The best part? You can grab yours today. The new kit and training range are available in official stores, online, and through the LFC store app. Don't wait, order now and be ready to show your Liverpool pride and style. Get your hands on the new 24-25 LFC home kit and anthem jacket today. Let's make this season unforgettable. You'll never walk alone.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights.
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear debris with the 40-volt jet fan leaf blower. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at your cordless power source, the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
It's that time again. Hello and welcome back to the Transfer Show. I'm Trev Denny. I'm here in beautiful rural Ireland. I am joined, of course, by our man in the know, Mr. Dave Davis, to start talking transfers again, because it is all change, my friend. It is all change at the Reds.
In the quiet words of John the Baptist when Jesus came back from the resurrection, how are you doing, Shagger? It's been a minute, hasn't it, type of thing. So listen, I'm excited. It feels like we were more almost stable last summer, and we thought small change and there wasn't much for us to talk about. Trev, it might go quiet for a little while after this, but we want to give the people a segue and what they want. I reckon there's going to come a point in the summer where it's like every 5 minutes, should we do one? I think it's going to be a mental summer coming up.
Well, not to talk out of school, but if we're being perfectly honest, you've been saying we had enough for a show for a couple of weeks now, and it just has gotten to the stage that we can't ignore it anymore. It may not be the end of the campaign. There may be no official announcements. Everything may still yet be theoretical, but there are too many theories, Dave, for us to ignore. Too many theories that are likely to prove factual ultimately as well. And of course, the big one we have to start with the biggest story of all, which is we're seeing it play out in a way we wouldn't really like in terms of people's reaction to the Reds falling off in form, and therefore some people getting their noses out of joint and recasting the whole Klopp era in different ways. And it's all a bit unfortunate. It's possible to be a little bit pissed off with Jurgen and with Mo and with everybody and with the whole thing, and still not just absolutely throw out the baby with the bathwater. But that seems to be the general atmosphere. And of course, the main reason for that is because we know the main man is going. And we also know now who is the heir apparent. And because it is the comparatively unfashionable and comparatively unknown Arne Slot, then I guess this is where the controversy is starting. This is where an awful lot of the panic is kicking in. Nothing's been announced, Dave, but I think we're very safe ground in saying that the Dutchman is the next Liverpool manager. Tell me what you know about it. Where are we in terms of the believability of all the stories and information? We've seen all the quotes from the man himself. He thinks it's done, which is weird, I think, because Jurgen's saying nothing and nothing's being said to him. But we also have the emergence of a new vanguard of trusted reporters, in inverted commas. Talk to us about all this.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because we fell for a Portuguese boat called Pedro, which should have really shed a few surface warnings, didn't we, for the last month or so, and that's gone by the wayside. However, Big Arnie, speaking to numerous reports, and we even did a media match this morning with David Lynch, a few of them are saying it's all done bar the screaming, Trev. Everything is apparently like signed, sealed, it's just not quite yet delivered. The thing is about that final point as well, there's not always a right or wrong. Like when Kloppo announced his leaving, people were like, that's killed us. You know how this revisionism kicked him, hasn't it? That's what killed. Like, is there a right or wrong way of doing it? Now, if you announce this slot deal in the next 10 minutes, I guarantee someone will give you the bit disrespectful to Jurgen, that, isn't it? And then again, someone will say, well, no, confirm it, bring certainty in the player's eyes. So the club are now in that. When do they do it? And they'll be looking at it and thinking, do we say it now? The problem is, if you do it right now, he's still Feyenoord manager and Jurgen Klopp's still Liverpool manager, head coach, whatever you want to call them, aren't they? So Feyenoord might not be too appreciative of that. I know their season has essentially finished, don't get me wrong, but how that looks, do you feel like it taints the Klopp era a little bit? If you do it now, you know, are you giving the most respect? The club will be looking at that. So it's all about the announcement and how you do it. And it wouldn't surprise me if they do like a bit like they did with Richard Hughes. Drew us like a column inch. This is the story. Maybe one picture, but nothing more. And then there's the big fanfare and the big interview after the season's finished, once Jurgen Klopp's done. So there's no necessarily right or wrong, but essentially it's a done deal, is pretty much everyone's information.
What are you making? And we're going to get into it a little bit more, in a lot more detail. On our last show, we talked about the Michael Edwards second coming to continue your religious metaphors here. And a lot of people are, colleagues of ours on the channel are really giddy with excitement, buddy. And I think both of us were of the opinion that, we both get it hard to be excited by this type of thing. And yet at the same time, if it breeds results, everybody's happy. So great. Now, it seems to me that the new era has started with, if not quite a Machiavellian structure, then certainly a kind of a, there is a cleverness and perhaps an admirable shadiness to what's going on. I like the idea that things are going to be quiet and kept under wraps. But then there are things that are being blown up and shown in public as well. And it all seems quite deliberate. And one of the ways, of course, you do that is you have certain journalists who you tell things to. They become the preferred source of club information, propaganda, information, propaganda. And it would appear that there are two lads who are the heirs apparent. If they hadn't been in an earlier iteration, they certainly are now.
Yeah, I don't have sort of a, this is not about tales of erotic fiction or non-fiction, as it were. However, the one thing that I think a lot of people have clocked of this, whenever there's a story, a development, an announcement, whatever you want to call it, on our football club, Messrs. Joyce and Bascom seem to be leading the way, don't they, on a lot of things. And a few people, it's not like we're the only people that have picked this up or identified it by any means. Quite a few people have sort of picked up on it. If you think even about just an example, if people are thinking, well, give me an example, then think about the Nunes thing this week when it was came out about, and it was a bit of an old story, but it was very interesting, that briefing, wasn't it, that the date Darwin Nunes was not a data team signing, however you want to put it, he was a Jurgen Klopp signing. Now that's not brand new stories. People knew that, and people knew about Nkunku. We've heard those types of things before. But it was interesting, the timing and what was happening, wasn't it, after the Merseyside derby and everything. And if you want to look back, if you didn't pick it up, folks, I'll let you guess which two journos put that out at the same time, literally minutes apart. Now, this doesn't mean we know anything sordid. This doesn't mean there's a bat phone from Michael Edwards' cave or anything like that. But as a lot of people are picking up on, there might be certain journalists that seem to get regular stories and quickly, shall we say, Trev. That's the best way of putting it, I think.
Well, that's very carefully phrased and correctly phrased, and we don't want to be alienating anybody until we know something for sure. I would say this. I would say to you that I really did not enjoy that story coming out in that fashion about how Nunes was a Klopp pick and not backroom and all the rest of it. I found that wound me right up. It felt unnecessarily divisive. And I will say this to you, Dave, if that is part of the overall strategy under Edwards now to say, put it out there for everyone to see what you know, so that almost like a justification for why you walked away. This is me, by the way, reading things into it. I am not saying this is what happened. I wouldn't be a fan of that. I would not be a fan of dirty laundry being aired in any way, shape or form. I don't think there was any need for it. I think it was unnecessarily divisive at a time in the season where there was still potentially something to be salvaged. It seemed, I have no interest in that kind of nonsense, man, I have to say.
Yeah, and we say this all the time, don't we? We're not here to be sort of ITKs or look what we found out. We talk about the stories, the few things people are thinking. And I think I get what you're saying. In terms of the way I see it, I think there's a known, and I have to be careful how I phrase this, style of Michael Edwards. He will use the media as he sees fit, like a puppet master, I think someone described it as. The one thing that I always think with Michael Edwards, he's not here to do the stories that will make him popular or Liverpool popular. It's what will help them in terms of buying and selling and how he best sees it. Whether we think that's a bit of, sometimes people could look at it and think, is that throwing someone under the bus? Is that a bit too close to the core? He will do what he thinks is right for Liverpool, in my opinion.
Yeah, and listen, like I said to you before, if that ultimately results in success, we are all happy with that.
Yeah.
The good news is, Dave, and it is good news, that there is a lot of talk about potential transfers. And even if you are like dead set against some of the potential outgoings, it does bring with it the potential for money and income, which can be spent on exciting new players, which people always get excited about. I think we're going to be busy, my friend, this summer. I do. I agree with you. I think it might be not quite a root and branch clear out, but I think there may be some big, big business done. And it could be the sort of thing that springboards a Liverpool 2.0 new era, or it could be the kind of thing that is resulting in what I've been saying today on Twitter that I don't want a bar of, which is a new period of adjustment and transition. Because honestly, we've done our stint with adjustment and transition, and this is why I'm wary of anything that's going to be too hefty. However, before we get to the big stories, which are the ones, sadly, about potential outgoings, there are a couple of stories that you cannot avoid linking us with a particularly exciting Leeds youngster. Would you talk us through this one and maybe your thoughts about the believability of the sources?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Hi, I'm going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, Drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
Hello, I'm here to annoy you. I'm here to annoy you into listening to more of me and more of others on EPL Index. We don't just have the Anfield Index stuff. We've got EPL Index as well, which covers the entirety of the Premier League. And we have three podcasts and a whole bunch of really good writing on EPLindex.com. The podcasts are my own two-footed podcast, which is every day at 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, covering the whole league. We have A Tad Predictable, hosted by Tadiwa. You know Tadiwa, he does Anfield Index. He presents A Tad Predictable before every Premier League match week. And then Kevin DeVries and his crew on the EPL Roundtable, there every week after the Premier League match week. So make sure you listen to everything we're doing on EPL Index and follow us there on Twitter at EPL Index. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, this one is one of those ones where you think you speak to someone. I sound like a bloody NY New York cop or something. Trust but verify type of thing. So you like a few more to corroborate it, Trev, in that way. The interesting thing is, quite a lot have corroborated it, Trev, to be honest. That even David Lynch mentioned it today that, yeah, the patch journos, that type of thing, is very much that Liverpool, and I want to phrase this the right way, have an interest in Somerville, the Leeds player. That's the right thing to say. Now, Romano, it wouldn't be a transfer show without mentioning Romano. He's mentioned recently Liverpool's like for this. And also Dutch media have mentioned it as well. That's important to note. You know, there's quite a few different sources. The way even David Lynch and a few others actually did, and I want to be careful again how I phrase this, it feels almost coordinated in the sense of he is a player, an attacker that Liverpool like, but he's not the only one. And it almost feels like we're going back to last summer. Do you remember when we talked about Liverpool having lists for positions or options? So in simple terms, I would bet serious money Somerville is on a list. So Liverpool have serious interest in this player. Doesn't mean he's the top option, you know, if a forward goes out, so they'll be the first one to recruit. But Liverpool have watched him. Quite a few have confirmed that. Liverpool have watched him a number of times this season. The thing that could be interesting with him, there's a couple of things. He's got experience here. I know it's the Championship and people will look at that, but it's experience in England. Obviously, it's the Arnie slot link. The most interesting thing from a data perspective, and this is the one to focus on, Trev, that intrigued me. Somerville profiles practically, and you can't say exactly, but practically identically to Diogo Jota at Wolves. Do you remember when he came from the Championship and made that leap and he sort of scaled up from there? As a lot of people have said, in terms of if you look at the, if it was a data buy, we're very much going by that data analysis, he runs a lot by Jota and he could have that, as people put it, scalable output of going up and increasing his stats. So that's an interesting one to think about in that sense. That does not mean he's absolutely, we're saying nailed on, we're going to move for him and all that. But Somerville is very much, as a lot of people are confirming, a player of interest to Liverpool. So you can't simply dismiss it. You've got to keep an eye on it. It'll be interesting to see as well what happens with Leeds. Because if Leeds don't go up, you know, they're like just outside the playoffs now and they don't get, you might be able to pick him up for a bargain, couldn't you? Because you know he's not going to fancy another season in the Championship as well. So 100% one to keep an eye on right now.
Now, look, this feels a little bit of a stretch because it is nominally in our next section, but I'm going to sort of pull the carpet out from under you and say that there is another player that we have faced actually quite recently who we're being linked with as well, but it's not just Liverpool being linked with him. This time a defender. Would you talk us through that story? Because I think it fits quite well here before we start depressing people with all the stories of potential outgoings.
Defender, remind me which one. Are we talking about a certain Dutch boy? Is that who we're talking about? Or I've probably lost track of all the ones we've got.
We're talking about the same Mr. Romano was mentioning Tosin, and he was talking a little bit about how several clubs were interested in him. Yeah.
Yeah, he is a player that you can get. He's even more difficult realistically because he's a player that a lot of clubs are interested in. I mean, why wouldn't clubs be interested in Premier League proven, good age, free transfer, homegrown centre back who's 6'5", 6'6"? It ticks so many boxes for so many, especially because, Trev, so some clubs that we know have got the FFP, PSR, whatever you want to call it, issues. There's clubs looking to build. He's in such an interesting position that Tosin, at last update we had, is wanted by at least sort of 6 or 7 Premier League clubs. It will almost be, what does he fancy? And I mean that. Does he fancy going like to one of the top ones? But you're going to be a squad player. Like, say if he comes to us as we'd want, he's not going to be a starter, is he, realistically? He's a great squad option, a really good one, but you're probably not going to be playing week in, week out. If he goes to maybe, and people will be screaming like, whose club are you insinuating? You call it how you want, people. But if you go to a club maybe not in the Champions League or a bit of a tier down, yes, you could be starting regularly if that's what you want, but you're not competing for the big prizes, if that makes sense. And the other one to even say for Tosin is, Milan really like him apparently as well on a free. So if he fancies that challenge to go up, he literally, it's strange to say, but a centre half that plays for Fulham that hasn't always been first choice this season is really wanted by most of the Premier League and some European big boys. Tosin has got a real pick'em option this summer. I'd like it to be us. I think he's a great move for us, but I wouldn't put confidence in it at the same time.
Of course, it will be very dependent on whether or not there's space for him in the squad. And
yeah,
before we start talking about the obvious candidates for transfer away from the Reds, because we know who they are and we need to talk about them because there's some very, very strong stories there. Can we just get the potential for the defence out of the way? There are no stories linking Andy Robbo away. There are no stories linking Kostas Tsimikas away. The Trent to Real Madrid story has gone cold. But there are one or two other chaps who might play in the same position as Mr. Tosin, who could be on their bike, thereby freeing up squad space. What and who have you heard that might be involved in this particular conversation?
Yeah, I don't think this is a great surprise that whilst Jurgen Klopp said we stand by Joel Matip as he did his rehab and got fit again, all those types of things, and that he said, you know, the club would, as he phrased it at the time, do right by him, there's no way we're going to renew Matip. We know what his injury history is like, his age, all that type of thing, and that the structure is not going to happen. Very much, Joel Matip has been in contact with a couple of Italian clubs because that could be a great move for him, couldn't it? A bit of a slower league, free transfer, the demands aren't quite the same. So at least one space is opening up there and Joel Matip is moving on. And the smart money says it's probably to the Italian capital.
Excellent. Watch this space for any other potential spaces that might open up. We may or may not have something to say about that in the weeks to come. Well, we do have clearly a lot to talk about in terms of the stories that won't go away, Dave. Our major forwards, Darwin Nunez, Luis Diaz, and Mo Salah. Now, that is nominally, I think, for most people on their day, possibly our strongest starting line. Of course, the issues have started to bundle up for all of them lately. Diaz, for all his industry, doesn't have the amount of end product that we'd like. Darwin, for all his industry and purple patch and chaos merchant and all those things, is not scoring enough goals to satisfy everybody and has gone really off the boil in the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And Mo Salah, since his injury, has not been his world-class self. And of course, now we had the spat, which people are going to read extra stuff into with Jurgen on the sideline. Now, each of them probably deserve a little bit of a chat in their own right. But the most obvious one, the one we can't ignore, Dave, and the most likely, it seems, is Luis Diaz. And that's because He's got an alpha there who just won't shut up about how his son is probably likely and wants to go elsewhere. And it's hard to avoid that story. So let's start with Diaz and what we know about that.
Hello there. Have you ever found yourself getting ready to watch the Liverpool match? You've got your mates round, you've got your drinks, you've got your snacks, you're all set to go. It's going to be a good day. And then you find out, oh, the game's not actually being broadcast in your region. There's the heartbreak, there's rage, there's despair, there's fury, you're upset, you're looking for a solution. Well, we've teamed up with NordVPN to bring you a game-changing solution. That's right. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a country where the game's on live. It's like having a global ticket to sports, TV shows, and movies from all around the world. And here's the best part. If you go to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index, you'll score the best discount on your NordVPN plan. Plus, our link gives you 4 extra months free on the 2-year plan. And that's what we call a winning streak. And if you're sitting there and you're thinking, what if it's not for me? What if I don't like it? What if I'm not getting the use of it? Don't worry about it. There's a 30-day money-back guarantee, so it's totally risk-free. I've been using NordVPN to catch all the Liverpool matches and TV shows that I'd normally miss out on. It's totally transformed both my weekends and my TV watching. And not only that, not only does it give me access to stuff from all around the world with the click of a button, it keeps all my data safe. It means that the miscreants, the ne'er-do-wells, what my grandmother would have called scallywags, who lurk on the internet to try and steal your information, can't get your information. NordVPN keeps it safe for you. So don't let geo-restrictions bench you this season. Visit nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and make sure that you're in the game, no matter when or where it's being played. Remember, it's not just sports. It's your all-access pass to binge-worthy TV shows and blockbuster movies from all around the globe. NordVPN literally unlocks the world for you and keeps you safe from the world. So don't miss out. Head over to nordvpn.com/Anfield Index and let the fun and games begin.
Yeah, Diaz is, I think it's almost in terms of ranking them, I wouldn't be buying any 7 Diaz shirts next season, put it that way, people, or preparing to do that. So, yeah, the old man has obviously fanned the flames with this. We want to do this, but we're happy at Liverpool, blah, blah, blah. I know quite a few journos are saying this, like David Lynch has said it, Neil Jones, that type of thing, have intimated that, you know, Luis Diaz's camp have said that the sort of the culture, the weather here hasn't really been something he's been a fan of. So he's not the happiest here. Actually, I'm going to be honest, Trev, and people can call this ITK or whatever nonsense people, because people are losing their shit on Twitter and everything at the moment, aren't they, anyway? So the thing from digging recently and really sort of has come, the most interesting thing I'd say that I got this week, Luis Diaz asked to go last summer. Luis Diaz asked to leave Liverpool and I was told, well, if you want to leave, this is what it will take, because obviously we'll need a replacement, etc., blah, blah, blah. Couldn't bring that deal to the table. And do you remember last summer there was talk of like Saudi this and do this and et cetera, et cetera. Couldn't get a deal to the table. In fact, the only thing that him and his agent could bring to the table was a loan move, to which the Reds were like, no, that's no use to us whatsoever type of thing for our coffers. Not happening. Now, we come to sort of fast forward to today and where we are. The thing about Diaz is always going to be his output, isn't it? That's the thing people are always going to question. He's got the tricks. He can beat a man, all that. It's goals and assists, big chances created. It's a thing that's labelled against him, understandably, time and time again, especially the way we're going, the way we work with data analysis, the holistic approach. He's the one that's got the biggest question mark around him, whatever you say about the others in terms of output. Now, he's 27 years old. He's got, or he will have in the summer, 2 years left to go on his contract, which we know is that prime point, don't we, where it's like you renew, you sell, because otherwise the value drops and fast. Couple of things to say on that, Trev. The biggest thing that's coming out that the Diaz camp are a bit peed off by, and I don't really understand why, he hasn't had any uplift in his salary. He came across from Porto on quite a I'm not going to say paltry because we're talking millionaires still, but in football terms, elite forwards are lower level. Now, the reason I'm saying that, this is important, is Liverpool have a sequence of, if you do well, you'll get rewarded. And we saw that with Mane, Bobby, Salah, even Jota got the upturn, didn't he, the other season. You do the business, you get the rewards, you get the increase. There's been no sort of talks whatsoever with Diaz ever since he came across about an extension and an increase, nothing. So his camp appeared off by that. At the same time, though, if you're asking to leave, why the hell would we, Trev, be talking in terms of, like, you know, wage increases, contract extensions, that type of thing? The other thing to say as well is, we know this, his dad's been talking. PSG and a few clubs have been linked with him. I think the Barca stuff is more fanciful. It feels like he's trying to will that into existence almost, isn't he? That they've not got that many levers, Luis, but you can try. PSG are the ones that a lot of people are mentioning. Will they come back when Le Petit Chat eventually sods off this summer? And they've obviously got that option to fill. But in terms of that, those were sort of the biggest discoveries. And from what we're hearing about the players we're looking at, like you mentioned, Somerville and all that, I would be mighty, mighty surprised if Luis Diaz is a Liverpool player next season.
You know, the PSG thing makes all the sense in the world. You can see him going there, getting the money he wants, pulling up trees, actually, in Ligue 1 and doing really well for himself and maybe helping the fans to forget the loss of our favourite little fella there. I do think, if it was me, I'm just going to be straight up with you, Dave. I think he's a good lad, but I think I'd be very, very anxious for Liverpool to do the business now if they're going to do it, because as you say, at 27, this is the time we're going to get the most possible money for him. It's not like all of a sudden his output is going to surge to levels that we haven't seen before, so we can then cash in on his 30 goals season next season. That's a long shot. So it's now, isn't it? This is the time to cash in on him if you're going to do it. So that's that one. What do you make of the ongoing Salah stories? And is there anything at all, do you think, to the Nunes stories, which were obviously hugely stirred up by that article that we were talking about earlier on, where, you know, there was a sort of, well, he's a Klopp signing. And then, of course, the implication is then, and by the way, that felt like scapegoating, shitty scapegoating, I have to say. And of course, the implication is then that, well, the new boy won't have to pull up with this nonsense that Klopp bought, and he'll shift them on. So start with Salah and then move on to Nunes.
Yeah, Salah was a weird one because, to be honest, as I told you before, as much as we've done some sort of digging and we could talk about the touchline spat and all that, from a pure transfer perspective and contracts and everything, we didn't really have anything on Salah, did we? It was all like, quiet, let's wait and see till the summer. No. That was until today, Trev, and David Ornstein drops one of his bombs, doesn't he, and goes that, yeah, Liverpool are expecting to keep... Now, we've got to be careful how we phrase it, because I think people are linking them. He said Liverpool are planning for next season with Mo Salah. That's the expectancy. He will be at the club, and they would see what had happened from there. Because I see people are reporting that Ornstein said contract. No, no, no. Ornstein did not talk about an extension or renewal. He just said Liverpool are planning for next season with Mo Salah and they'd see what would happen from there. Then, this, you know, we're talking the big hitters now, aren't we? Paul Joyce does the story, doesn't he, to say Liverpool are looking at a potential contract renewal or extension, if you want to call it that, for Mo Salah. But again, doubling down on he's going to be staying next season. You know, again, which, let's be honest, has been against the grain of what a lot of people were leaning towards, thinking and been suggesting. And those are two big hitters. We know how well they resource their stuff. We're not talking about blaggers here by any means, are we? So, you know, that plays that. Now, I want to be careful how I phrase this, because speaking to people and, you know, when we love a bit of theory on this show. That's why it's called the transfer show. You know, we just like talking this type of shit at times. This Machiavellian-style thing from Michael Edwards, this plays out well now, whatever, and I'll explain why. If Mo Salah doesn't want to discuss a future deal or anything like that and says, no, as people have suggested, he does just want to ride out this year. And then at least Edwards can see, we tried. We tried. He's a legend. He goes, everyone, you know, we've done as much as we can and we can live with that. If he offers him a new deal, everyone's like, well, what money is he going to offer? Michael Edwards, are we going to guarantee that Michael Edwards offers Mo Salah like a 2-year extension on 350 grand? I don't know this, Trev, but would it surprise you if Michael Edwards said, sliding scale or you've got to hit metrics to get, do you know that type of thing? And Salah goes, not doing that. Well, if we can't make it work, we can't make it work again. We tried, it happens. But it's almost now, dependent on how you see it, it's a bit of a game of brinkmanship with the people who want him. You know, Saudis, if you want him, put up the money because we're prepared to ride that year out and let our legend leave on a free. You know, put some dosh on the table to make us all change our mind. The interesting thing I would say as well, which I think is a bit different to last season. You know, we talked about the Saudi situation so often last season, Trev. It's a diminished product, isn't it? You have to be honest about that. Like the excitement at the start of last summer is not the same as what it is now. We know how that whole thing, and even that, I know it's not even on our agenda recently, but journalists, you get mixed briefs. Some are like, no, we think they will. But some are saying, oh, well, the appetite, they're not convinced is there for the Saudis, you know, to go hard again. So does that mean they'll come hard back to the table for Salah? Again, it's speculation, but this is what we do on the transfer show. This is the longest way of acting like a Tory politician ever. I can't call it, Trev. I genuinely don't know about you, but I actually think the way they've done it, and it's clearly leaked from the Liverpool side, you know, to do these stories that, let's be honest, when Ornstein and Joyce have got stuff, like, it doesn't just come from nowhere, does it? Let's be honest. So,
no.
I really don't know on Mo Salah. I really don't know, mate. Long story short.
Hey, guys. It's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.